Mark chapter 15 this morning. Mark chapter 15, and when you get there, look in verse 12. Mark chapter 15 and verse 12. There was a young teenage boy went to a drugstore, and he walked up to the druggist, and he said, I need a one-pound box of chocolates. I need a three-pound box of chocolates. I need a five-pound box of chocolates. And so the druggist said, okay, well, I can't help but ask, what's that about? And he said, well, I've got a date tonight. And he said, I'm going to go over to my girlfriend's house and said, after we eat, we're going to go sit out on the front porch. And if she holds my hand, I'm going to give her the one-pound box of chocolate. And he said, and if she lets me put my arm around her, then I'll give her the three-pound box of chocolate. And he said, but if she lets me give her a good night kiss, then I'll give her the five-pound box of chocolate. And so the druggist said, okay, well, good luck. And so he left. And that night he got to his girlfriend's house and they sat down to eat. And the girlfriend's father said, Johnny, will you pray for, ask the blessings over the supper? And so he started praying. And I mean, he prayed and prayed and prayed. And he started praying for all the presidents and the churches that he knew of. And he went on for about 5 minutes just praying and praying. He about ran out of stuff to pray and finally said, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Girlfriend leaned over to him and whispered, I didn't know you were so spiritual. And he whispered back, I didn't know your daddy was the druggist. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Amen. Mark chapter 15. And when you get there, look in verse 12. Mark 15 and verse 12. If you're there with me, give me a big amen this morning. Amen. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I should do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head, and began to salute him, hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed, which pushed that crown of thorns down into his skull, and did spit on him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him. I'm not necessarily preaching on the crucifixion this morning, but while we're covering it, those of you that have heard me before or heard John Bailey teach on it, Jesus' entire body was an open sore. And they put the purple robe on him for the purpose of it being able to stick to the fabric. And then they waited long enough and then jerked it off of him. That was the purpose of that. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one Simon a Cyrenian who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him into the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, or 9 o'clock in the morning, and they crucified him. And the superscription of the accusation was written over the King of the Jews. My text verse this morning is found in verse 21. I would like to read that again. It says, and they compel one, Simon a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Title of my message this morning is Simon the Cyrene. Simon the Cyrene. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for the way that you've spoken to our hearts through song. Lord, we're so thankful that as children of God that we can make the statement, it is well with our soul, no matter what's going on in our lives. Father, we ask that you please fill us with your Spirit today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit's power, Father. You know I cannot do this without you. Be with the kids next door, Miss Sarah, she teaches. We give you all the honor and glory for all that's said and done here today. Father, if there's one person in this room that's not 100% sure that heaven is their home, help them to trust Christ as their Savior today, to go home today knowing where they'll spend eternity. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, so we see here Jesus is being led down the Via Dolorosa, and they're taking him the path on his way to the place of the skull, Golgotha, or Mount Calvary. And there's a man here named Simon from a country in northern Africa called Cyrene. Now, Cyrene would have been about 800 miles away from Jerusalem. It would have taken him probably 30 to 55 days, depending on how hard he traveled to get there. So between 1 and 2 months to make it to Jerusalem. And he was coming because this day was the day of the Passover. And so Simon was coming to Jerusalem so that he could observe the Passover. It says that he came out of the country, signifying that he has just arrived to the city. He's coming out of the country regions and coming into Jerusalem. And he's coming here because he's excited about observing the Passover. This is something, an 800-mile journey. This is might have possibly been a once-in-a-lifetime experience for Simon. It could have been that he's planned one of these years, I'm gonna not observe the Passover here. I want to go all the way to Jerusalem and observe it there. It's possible that he's made this journey a few times. We don't know. But this was a very serious and exciting moment for him. The trip of a lifetime, taking an 800-mile, two-month-long journey to get to go to Jerusalem, the holy city. And there I'm going to get to observe the Passover. And so while Simon comes into the crowd, people are screaming. There's obviously something taking place. So Simon, trying to figure out what's taking place, scoots to the front of the line, and there he sees the Roman soldiers, he sees the two thieves, and he sees Jesus Christ bearing his cross. The scripture doesn't tell us for sure, but historians believe there were at least three times where Jesus fell underneath the weight of the cross, and one of those times was right as Simon got to the front of the line. He sees Jesus fall down. And then a Roman soldier grabs Simon and says, "You carry his cross." Now, the culture of that day, a Roman soldier had the right to get you to call you into service with no questions asked. So this was not a suggestion. This was now law for Simon. And so Simon reaches down and picks up the cross and he carries it. This is story, of course, goes along with something that Jesus said back in Mark chapter 8. We're still in, hold your finger here at Mark chapter 15. And just flip a couple pages to the left back to Mark chapter 8 and look in verse 34. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. So Simon is now compelled or ordered, you come carry his cross. And so he goes and he has no other choice. He couldn't tell him, this is not why I'm here. He couldn't say, I'm in a hurry. I've got somewhere else I've got to go. Simon didn't have a choice. He had to come and pick up this cross and be a part of this awful scene that was taking place. And look what Jesus says here in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. He says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." Take up his cross and follow me. So this story goes along with what Jesus had talked about here, and it's a picture of you and I. Jesus told his disciples, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross and come after me. So the picture and the story of Simon the Cyrene, he is a picture of you and I. But let's look at the cross that he had to carry. First of all, the cross was heavy. The cross was heavy. Historians estimate that the cross weighed anywhere between 250 to 300 plus pounds, a very heavy cross, which is why after the weight, the scourging that Jesus had been through, that the Roman soldiers, they didn't want him to die on the way to Calvary. They wanted Calvary to be his death, and so, which is why they grabbed Simon to spare Jesus' life long enough for him to torture on the cross. It was 250 to 300 pounds, a very heavy, heavy cross. It was heavy. You know, I've heard people say, and I don't fault them for it. They just don't understand. They have the context off. But they'll say something like, yes, I've got this health problem in my life or this family issue or such and whatever. And they'll say, and we all have our crosses to bear. And though I know what they're trying to say, where we all go through trials and tribulations here on earth, but they're taking the phrase out of context. When Jesus says that I want you to take up your cross, he's not talking about a hard time. He's not talking about difficult circumstances. Taking up your cross was something different. This meant self-denial. Look what it says in Mark 8:34. He says here, let's see, I split back to 15. Let me get back over here to Mark. I'll tell you what it says. It says, if any man will come after me and deny himself. So that's talking about what the Bible calls dying to self. I crucify the flesh. I'm going to take my flesh, which has my ungodly desires, my ungodly lust, the part of me that does not want to surrender all, the part of me that does not want to get into service of the King, the part of me that wants to stay home instead of coming to church, the part of me that wants whatever, I'm supposed to take that part of me and nail it to the cross and say, flesh, you're dead. That's what it means to take up your cross and come after Him. And so this cross, though, we see the cross was heavy. When a person picks up their cross, that's saying they're becoming a dedicated, committed follower of Jesus Christ. It's heavy in the fact that it took commitment. It takes commitment. You know, when Jesus was explaining what it takes to be a follower of Him, that's what we're looking at today, a follower of Jesus, take up your cross and follow Him, a disciple. It takes commitment. This was a 15-year commitment from a disciple to follow the master, the rabbi, or the master there. And he would say, for 15 years, I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to sleep where you sleep. I'm going to eat what you eat. I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do because I'm in serious training for 15 years until the age of 30. That's what a disciple was back in their day. And so to follow, that takes a commitment. That's saying that I'm going to make Jesus my all. I'm going to make His work my all. I'm going to start surrendering. I'm going to start serving. I'm going to start volunteering. I'm going to start passing out tracts. I'm going to do whatever I can do. That's what it means. So if you hear someone that says, "What we all have our crosses to bear," we do, but not the cross. They're thinking, taking up your cross is giving all. It's giving it all. It's saying, I'm laying Keith Carringer aside. What Keith's interests are not important. Keith's goals are not important. All that's important to me is God's interests for my life, and God's goals for my life, and God's will for my life. And so that's what that's talking about there. So that's why some people look at that and say, that cross looks heavy. I have to commit to being a dedicated follower of Jesus. I've got to do everything that He's asked me to do. You mean I've got to obey every command that's in this book? Preacher, that looks heavy. Crosses are heavy. Crosses are heavy. But another reason that it's heavy is not because of just the commitment, but also because it means that I've got to totally crucify my flesh. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24 says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh." So that's talking about taking up your cross. "They have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Here's what that means. The part of me, my flesh, the things that it likes to do, I've got to tell it, you can't have that because you're dead. You're hanging on my cross. I took it up this morning. I told the Lord, I'm taking up my cross. I'm crucifying my flesh, and whatever my flesh requests of me today, it doesn't get because you're dead. You don't get a say so. And so, and Paul talks about here the affections, the lusts, that which my sinful flesh likes. I can't let it have it. I've got to tell it no. And sometimes Christians look at that and say, boy, preacher, that cross looks heavy. That cross looks heavy. I don't know if that's something that I can lift. Being faithful seems heavy. Obeying God's commands, it seems heavy. Crosses are heavy. Number two, though, the cross was inconvenient. The cross was inconvenient. First of all, it was inconvenient because it changed plans. This wasn't why He was here. He just made a one and two month long journey to get to Jerusalem. And He comes here and He's excited. Once in a lifetime, I'm going to come and get to observe the Passover in Jerusalem. I am so excited about it. And on His way there, He gets stopped. And it was inconvenient. This is not why I'm here. This was not part of my plan. This was not a part of my schedule. I didn't schedule this in today. I've got my desires, and I've got my concerns, and I've got my schedule and my plan. But the cross was inconvenient because it changed His plan. This was not a part of His schedule. But this Roman soldier gives you a command. You have no choice. So it was inconvenient because it changed His plan. Secondly, it was inconvenient possibly because of loss. There's a good chance if He's coming to Jerusalem for the Passover that He's got a lamb with Him. He's probably providing and caring for this lamb and carrying it on the... But now He's got to drop everything that's Simon's and take everything that's Jesus's. And so He probably lost the lamb that He brought. Took 800 miles so He could come and offer it. That's not in Scripture, but it's possible that He's lost something there. Not only is it inconvenient because of that, but when Simon picked up the cross, which is now bloody from the broken body of Jesus Christ, a blood from another man got on Simon in his clothes, which instantly in the Levitical law made him unclean. Yeah. And he was disqualified to participate in the Passover. Right. Everything He came for. The reason I'm here is to get to participate in this. And having to pick up this cross and get this other man, he probably didn't know who Jesus was. Having to get this man's blood on me has now declared me unclean, and now I made this whole trip for nothing. Now there's no, I'm not going to be able to participate in the Passover like I wanted to. This 800-mile journey was for nothing. Sometimes the cross can be viewed as inconvenient because sometimes it changes our plans. Huh? My dad's plan coming out of high school was to be a professional airline pilot. He had his pilot's license and flew a Cessna 172, and his goal was to one day be a professional airline pilot. And then God called him to preach. Boy, my dad argued with God. He said, "Lord, I'll fly missionaries back and forth. That's what I'll do." And he kept trying to figure out a way to put God's plan and his plan together. All right, now, if God's will is for you to be an airline pilot, be the best airline pilot you can be. But that wasn't God's will for my dad's life. Boy, he just kept trying. And he argued with God and argued with God. And finally, the desire got, those of you that are called to preach know the feeling. The desire got so strong. Boy, he finally had to say, "Okay, God." And you know what he had to do? The cross caused my dad to have to change some plans. Sometimes the cross causes us, it's inconvenient sometimes because it causes us to have to change our plans.
That's right.
Sometimes the cross causes loss. Sometimes we have to give up some things, don't we? Sometimes if I'm going to be a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ, there's a part of my life that God is unhappy with. It's the affections and lusts of the flesh. And sometimes I have to let that thing go because it's an obstacle in my life. It's a weight in my life. It's keeping me from following the Lord like I should. And there might be some things that you're holding on to and you're trying to carry your cross at the same time. The cross is too heavy to carry God's burdens and yours. And so you've got to just let go of you. Remember the woman at the well in John chapter 4 who got saved? She went to the well there and she was filling up her water bucket. And the Bible says Jesus approached her and they got in a conversation and she got saved there at that well in Samaria. And then the Bible says that she left her water pot and ran on and started doing the will of God.
Right.
Sometimes we have to leave our water pot.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
Can I tell you, preacher, how am I going to survive? God takes care of those that obey His will. I'm not saying quit your jobs. I'm not saying do that kind of stuff. But I'm saying that God has to be priority in my life if I'm going to carry my cross. Because sometimes the cross is inconvenient. Sometimes it changes our plans. But thirdly, not only that, the cross was degrading. Jesus, when He fell underneath the load of that cross, was walking down a path that was called today the Via Dolorosa. It's also known as the Way of Suffering. See, the Romans, what they would do when they took that person that was going to be crucified, they would take them on a path going through town just so that people could line up and scoff at them,
right,
mock them, make fun of them, throw things at them. This was a very shameful walk. This was a very embarrassing walk. This was they were purposely saying, "Look at this man is guilty," and everybody that gathered, that's why there was a crowd, because people would gather up to the Via Dolorosa and watch as men that were about to give their life on, or have their lives taken on a cross, walk by, and they would scoff at them and call them names and laugh at them and throw things at them. And when Jesus walked that Via Dolorosa, He was walking a walk of shame, a walk of scoffing, a walk of embarrassment, a degrading walk. But when Simon was there watching, he was a spectator, and that Roman soldier commanded him to come on and pick up the cross of Jesus Christ. He is now walking that walk. Simon is feeling the shame. Simon is feeling the embarrassment and the degrading as they're yelling at him and they're screaming at him and they're throwing things at him. This was a humiliating walk. You know, the crucified life is not a life of popularity.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Y'all with me this morning? The crucified life is not, God does not promise you if you live godly that you'll win popularity contests. Now, we ought to have good testimonies with those around us so that people respect us and love us. But if the Bible says very plainly that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what?
Persecution.
Not everybody suffers persecution. Well, not everybody lives honestly what God calls a godly life. If you live a godly life, you're going to make enemies. If you live a godly life, there's friends that will separate from you. You won't even have to separate from them.
Right.
You won't have to separate from them. When you start living godly and saying, "I can't do that, I'm a Christian. I can't do this, I'm a Christian," they'll separate from you. Because the Bible says that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There was a mom, her son was going into the military, and she was so scared that the religious persecution was going to be very heavy. And it is. It is. We need to pray for the Christians that are in places like that. They're mocked and made fun of. They're walking that walk. And so she was so worried that he would be made fun of for his faith. And so one day, this was a few weeks into his basic training, they were talking on the phone. He said, "Mom, you know how you were all worried about people making fun of me or not including me or being hard on me because I'm a Christian?" And she said, "Yes." He says, "Mom, you didn't need to worry. I've been here 2 weeks and nobody knows I'm a Christian. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution."
Yeah, right.
The cross was a degrading cross. Not only was it heavy, not only was it inconvenient, but it was also degrading. They scoff. They're hateful. Even people in the world today who might not be a real Christian, but they live according to the principles of this book, make people angry. You read about it on the news and see how they treat someone who all they want to do is just stand up and say that I believe that all life is sacred, even before they're born. Those 9 months, I believe life is sacred. You get up, whether you're a Christian or not, but you make a biblical stand like that and you see how popular you are in the world today. They're hateful. They're mean. Sometimes the cross, the way of the cross is a degrading walk. And Simon experienced all of that. Preacher, you might say, "Preacher, this sounds terrible. Why in the world, after a message like this, would anybody want to pick up a cross?" You know, when we look at a biscuit, right? If I gave you a big spoonful of flour, and I said, "I want you to eat this spoonful of flour," you'd take a bite and say, "That's bitter. That's nasty. Who could take that? Just bland. I hope nobody's ever eaten a spoonful of flour in here. And boy, that's disgusting. What if you took, how about raw eggs? Does that sound good? Just take some raw eggs, crack them over, and take a spoon, mix it up and eat it." Some of you might do that. I don't know if you do, you're weird. But you know, I know some people, protein and all that stuff. Look, I'll cook it, then I'll get the protein. But hey, raw eggs. How about baking powder? Does that taste good?
What about shortening?
You ever taken a spoon and got out that thing, that tub, and got a big old spoonful of shortening and put it in your mouth? Oh, that's good. You ever done that before? No, because those ingredients are disgusting. You must not like biscuits. I've just listed everything that's in a biscuit, and you've scoffed at every one of them. You must not like that. You know, sometimes we look at the cross and say, "Preacher, wow, it's heavy. It's inconvenient. It's degrading. That doesn't sound good. I don't want that in my life. Why would I want to take up a cross if it's heavy and if it's inconvenient and if it's degrading?" But we watch what God does when you put this together. The cross might sound grievous, but there is no life like the crucified life. The life when you're taking up your cross and following Jesus is a life of joy, peace, satisfaction. It's a fulfilling life. A life that's not laden with heartache and regrets because you've messed up and having to live with the consequences of sin. You know, a lot of people look at the Christian life and they look at people that live like me and people that live like you and say, "That's way too heavy. I could never lift that." But they don't realize the yoke of bondage that they are under.
That's right.
They don't even know. Satan has got them so twisted in their thinking that they think we're the ones that have the bondage and that we are the ones that are carrying the heavy loads. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And people will look at that burden and say, "Dedicated? I don't know if I can do that. That cross looks too heavy. Inconvenient? I've got to change my plans sometimes for God. That's inconvenient. I can't do that. Degrading? Live a kind of a lifestyle that would cause people to scoff at me and an embarrassing life? That's too heavy. I can't do that." They don't even know that the way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. And the lifestyle that they are living is so much more heavier than what God has to offer. I can tell you,
Yes. There's
no joy and no peace like living the crucified life.
Amen.
God's designed us that way. Look what the cross did for Simon. There's some things that it did for Simon. First of all, look at this. First of all, he became a servant instead of a spectator.
Yeah.
Here's Jesus possibly the third time falling under the weight of the cross. Needed help. And at the moment of the Savior's greatest need, Simon was standing right there. Does that break your heart when you hear? Imagine the suffering that Jesus is already going through, and he's trying his best to lift, and he's carried it already probably a quarter of a mile. And finally, he can't take it anymore, and his legs give out, and he loses strength, and he falls on his face, pinned down by that 300-pound beam. And Simon at first was a spectator. You know how many Christians see the work of God halter on And the church needs soul winners. And the church needs givers. And the church needs Sunday school teachers. And the church needs nursery workers. And the church needs this. And the church needs that. And the work of God is lingering on. And they stand on the sidelines and watch.
Right.
Do you know what picking up the cross did for Simon? It turned him from a spectator into a servant.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Jesus had fallen and needed help. And Simon was there. The work of Christ needs help today, and he's needing Christians that will watch it and jump in and say, what can I do?
Yeah,
what can I do? Now, yes, God has the power to reach down and snap his finger and everything take place what he wants. He has chosen to use the clay. Remember the message a few weeks ago. He has chosen to need you and me. And there are Christians that if they don't do what God's asked them to do, the work is going to halter on. It's not going to go like it should. He became a servant instead of a spectator. Secondly, though, he became a follower of Christ. He became a follower of Christ. We're in Mark 15. Look what it says. Mark 15, 21. Look what it says here. Mark 15, 21. Y'all still with me this morning? I'm going to move fast. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Now, we don't know anything else scripturally about Simon after this account. But when you look at the way that Mark is writing and Mark's writing style, he writes this as if those who are reading, those he's writing to, know who Alexander and Rufus are. Okay? Look at what he says. He says, the man who carried it, he's the father of Alexander and Rufus. So Mark, who wrote this 30 years or so after this took place, is writing to a group of people who probably know who Alexander and Rufus are, which I believe that after this, Simon became a follower of Jesus Christ, got his boys in the house of God, and they became disciples of Jesus. And Mark is now writing this to a group of Christians, and he says, oh yeah, you guys know Alexander and Rufus. It was his dad. It was his dad that carried the cross 30 years ago for Jesus. That's what I believe. I believe that he became a follower of Christ. Luke, don't turn there. I'm going to read it really quickly, but in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, the Bible says, and he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. When Simon picked up that cross, the Bible says that he started following Jesus. I believe he followed him figuratively like we're looking at this morning, but I believe he became a physical follower of Jesus Christ after it was over. Look what it says in Luke. Flip over to Luke chapter 23 if you would with me. Luke covers one detail that the other two Gospels do not cover in this story. Luke chapter 23 and verse 26. Luke chapter 23 and verse 26. The Bible says, if y'all with me, give me a big amen.
Amen.
And as they led him away, they lay hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it. What's those next two words? Talk to me. After Jesus. You know, this took him from being somebody that was just kind of watching to becoming an actual follower. And he followed Jesus footstep for footstep all the way to Calvary. The cross was heavy. The cross was inconvenient. And the cross was degrading. But look at who he's following. Huh? Look who he's following. Yes, we've already talked about, preacher, that doesn't sound like a good cross. It's heavy. It's inconvenient. It's degrading. But look who's walking just in front of Simon as he carries that heavy cross, as he carries that inconvenient cross, as he carries that degrading cross. It's Jesus right there. You understand it was Jesus' weight. It was Jesus' inconvenience. It was Jesus' shame, Jesus' embarrassment that he was able to partake of. That's why the disciples were praising God when they said, I was worthy to get to suffer the same kind of afflictions that Jesus did. Listen to me, folks. When you pick up your cross in your life and you say, preacher, it's heavy. I've got to give up some things. It's changed my plans. It's been inconvenient for me. But you're carrying Jesus' weight. You're carrying Jesus' inconvenience and Jesus' shame. What a privilege to get to be there at the most difficult time of the Master's life when he needs us most. And they get to bear his shame, which truthfully, Simon was bearing the shame of Jesus, who was bearing that shame for Simon.
That's right. Yeah.
Huh?
That's good.
Creature, that's Jesus' shame. Just let him carry it.
Good.
I don't want to pick up the cross. I don't want to offer my help. Let Jesus be inconvenienced. I'm too busy for that. Let Jesus bear the shame. Let Jesus be embarrassed as he walks the way of suffering. My life's too important for me to get involved. You know whose embarrassment he's taking and whose shame he's taking.
Yeah.
whose weight he's carrying?
Good.
Me and you.
Yeah.
Me and you. Preacher, the cross is heavy. I know. If you're going through your life and there's times where you feel like the crucified life's not easy, just look up and look who's walking just in front of you.
Yes, Lord.
And it's his embarrassment that you're going through in this life. What an honor and a privilege to get to be a part of that. He became a follower of Jesus Christ. The cross is a blessing to you and I. That's why Paul said, I will glory in the cross. That didn't make sense to the people he was writing to. If you looked at the cross that we have back here, we're so used to seeing them. We see them in pictures. We see them in necklaces. We see them in churches. We see crosses everywhere. I love the cross. It's because of the cross that I have entrance into heaven. But if you were alive back then and Paul wrote, I glory in the cross, that'd be like me telling you, you know what just gives me ultimate pleasure? The electric chair. That's what that would have sounded like. The cross was not a glorious thing to them. It was not a pleasurous thing. That was a symbol of blood, of gore, and of torture, of death. But Paul said, I glory in the cross, and the reason being, the cross is a blessing, not just because of what we carry. It's not about what we're carrying. It's heavy, it's inconvenient, it's degrading. I understand those things, but that's not what's important. It's not a blessing because of what I get to carry. It's a blessing because who I'm carrying it for.
Yeah.
It's Jesus' shame that I'm a part of. I don't want somebody liking me that doesn't like my dad. There's preachers that are mad at my dad because of a stand that he's taken. I don't want them liking me. I want them to know I take the same stand. I don't want the world that hates my Savior, the one who died for me and gave his life. I don't want them liking me but hating my God. Huh? What a privilege to get to be a part of his embarrassment and his shame. The cross is a blessing, but not because of what we carry, but because of who we carry it for. When your cross gets heavy, inconvenient, embarrassing, just look ahead at who's walking in front of you. Number three, and we'll close. What did the cross do for him? He became a servant. He became a forever follower of Christ. And thirdly, instead of just observing a picture, he got to experience the real thing. Now get this. Get this. All right, he comes to Jerusalem. 800-mile trip for the dream of his life. I get to observe in the Passover at Jerusalem. Okay, he's inconvenienced. The cross changes his plans. Gets blood on his clothes. Now I can't even observe the Passover. That's what you thought, Simon. That's what you thought. You thought you missed the Passover. All you missed was the picture. You were a part of the Passover.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. He had no idea. He thought he missed the picture. But he got to be a part of the plan, the real thing. He carried the cross that Jesus hung on to Calvary. Simon didn't miss anything. Boy, Satan makes you and I think, if you're a cross bearer, there's things you're going to miss out on. There's things you won't get to experience. I remember I was trying to rebuild a guitar that I had a long time ago, and I got on this guitar forum. You know what a forum is, where you can ask other guitarists questions. And I made a mistake. One of the guitarists asked the questions, what do y'all think about hell? And I clicked on it out of curiosity, and I read some of the biggest ignorance and stupid, and I just thought, so I couldn't help it, and that was my mistake. I should have stayed out of it. Answer not a fool according to his folly, but I couldn't help it. I went on there, and I'm like, guys, there's a problem, and I was younger, you know, and I was in Bible college, and I was like, you're commenting on something you don't know anything about, and I started telling them what the Bible says and laying it out. Boy, they let me have it. They were mad. And one guy was going on about, he goes, I can't... He said, I could never live like you. I get to have so much that you can't have. He said, you can't enjoy. And he started naming a bunch of sins. He didn't realize that what he was bragging about had him in chains.
Yeah, right.
Literally had him in chains. And that what Christ offers is liberty and freedom.
Amen. Amen.
And the world honestly looks at you and I and they think, boy, they're missing out. They're in church instead of goofing off and playing. They're reading their Bible. They're faithful to their mate instead of messing around. Look what they're missing out on. Simon at first, as soon as he put that bloody cross on his shoulder, thought, oh, I know what this means. They won't even let me in. I'm unclean for a week. And he thought he missed out. But what God replaced the picture with,
yeah.
He walked right behind the real Lamb of God. Mm-hmm. What that Passover for all those years pictured, he was a part of the real thing. Can I tell you that when you take up your cross, God wants to take you from just experiencing Christianity on the surface,
yeah.
Looking at the picture, The Christians that have said the cross is too heavy, it's too inconvenient, it's too degrading. I don't want any part of that. I'll lightly obey the Bible. I'll do the bare minimum, but don't ask me to become a cross bearer. You don't realize what you're missing out on. There was a little boy. His life's goal was he wanted to see the circus years ago. And there was a circus that was coming to his town, and he was just so excited. Oh, boy, I get to see the circus. But they were a poor farming family. And he went to his dad and said, "Dad, I'd give anything in the world to go see a circus. Can I go?" And his dad said, "Well, son, those are expensive. It's a dollar entry fee. We just don't have a dollar to spend," and it just crushed him. And so the whole family got together and they said, "Guys, let's pull our resources. Let's get this dollar so that so-and-so can go watch the circus." And so they called him into the room that night and they said, "You know, the circus is coming tomorrow." And he said, "Yes, sir." And they said, "We've been able to scrape together a dollar so you can go see the circus." Oh, I mean, he was just thrilled to death. He was so excited. Couldn't wait. Didn't sleep all night long. Going to get to go see the circus. And so the next day he got up and he got his dollar, got dressed, and he went over to where the circus was. And he got there and there was a huge procession and people lined up. Is that procession is the parade that walks into the circus tent. And he fought his way through the crowd and got to where he could see. And here come all these animals. I mean, it was the most exciting thing he'd ever seen in his life. Just didn't even know what to say. He was so excited about it. Watching the animals come as they walked into the tent. And then here come these guys with their faces all painted up and looked like clowns, and they were doing silly things. And he was watching people come in juggling, and it was the most exciting experience of his life. And then when that procession made their way all the way into the tent, he said, "Wow." And he took his dollar and gave it to the man, and he went on home. He thought that was all there was. And he went back and told his parents how awesome the circus was. And this little boy thought he had seen the circus when all he saw was the parade. Yeah. You know how many Christians say, "Yeah, boy, God is great. Christianity is wonderful. He saved my soul and I'm on my way to heaven. He gives me peace on the inside." But they're never going to take it to the next step in their spiritual life. Right. The cross is too heavy. Lord, yeah. It's too inconvenient. It's too degrading. I don't want that kind of... I'm not that dedicated. I'll just do the surface. I'll do the bare minimum. And they'll die and go to heaven one day, praise the Lord, but thinking that they got to experience the full blessings of the Christian life when all they experienced was the parade.
Yeah, Lord, yeah.
What can I do, preacher? Lay myself aside, pick up the cross, and go after the bleeding Savior. Yeah. Father, we thank you for this day. Yeah. We thank you for everything you've given us.